From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For quite some time, Dr. Cairns has been studying the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the Gospels. On the eve of his crucifixion, Christ comes to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples to pray. Into this scene, Judas and the mob intrude for the betrayal and arrest of the Savior. From the text in John chapter 18, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Gethsemane, Christ's Perfection Revealed in the Fires of Testing. First, however, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reports that J.I. Packer packs in the Anglican Church of Canada.
We have all heard of such things as Coca-Cola Light. Well, I suppose you could call this Separation Light. James Packer has at last quit the Anglican Church of Canada, though he has not cut his ties with the worldwide Anglican Communion, headed by Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Not long ago, I reported on the troubles that Packer and some other evangelicals were having with their bishop, Michael Ingham. Ingham is pushing a fanatically radical left-wing agenda under the guise of Christianity. He and his diocese, along with almost half of the entire Anglican Church of Canada, are major supporters of same-sex marriages and other forms of deviancy that the Bible describes as moral abominations. When I last reported to you, Ingham was threatening to deprive Packer and his clerical friends of their license to minister as Anglican priests. Now, they have taken the initiative and have defied Ingham. Last February, St. John's Shaughnessy Anglican Church in Vancouver, of which James Packer has been a long-term member, left the 640,000-member Anglican Church of Canada to join with 14 other congregations from across the nation to seek to operate under a different bishop. They have formed the Anglican Network in Canada, reputedly about 2,000 strong, and despite being forbidden to do so by the primate of the Anglican Church in Canada, Archbishop Fred Hiltz, they have placed themselves under the episcopal oversight of South American Archbishop Gregory Venables in a new non-geographically based form of Anglicanism. Dr. Packer rightly identified Ingham and his followers as heretics and spoke of the poison of liberalism that they dispensed. For his trouble, he has been condemned as a poor soul who interprets the Bible literalistically. One compromising minister, Reverend Kevin Dixon, piously intones the usual compromiser's complaint, I quote, "I think it's very unfair when any new insight that departs from an accepted position is labelled heretical." Dixon called the Vancouver area diocese's decision to bless same-sex relationships a recognition of what's true in light of contemporary research in genetics and psychology. Packer, he alleged, is adopting a literalistic reading of the Bible when he takes Paul's 2,000-year-old words as proof for all time that the Supreme Being condemns homosexuality. Then Dixon played the slavery card. Here's what he says, really. People once used the Bible to justify slavery. They were wrong. People now use the Bible to condemn homosexuality. They're just as wrong. That's the argument. How anybody can make that argument with a straight face is more than I know. People did use the Bible to support slavery, and indeed some still do. The reality is that they misuse the Bible. The Bible nowhere tells us that those who refuse to condone slavery cannot be saved. It does tell us that those who indulge homosexuality cannot be saved. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Dixon knows this, but he still trots out the hoary old argument from slavery. The truth is that he does not accept the authority of the Bible. He calls the Bible a nuanced document that needs new interpretations. In other words, we have to deny what the Bible says in favour of what he and his fellow liberals say that it means. I'm glad that at last the 81-year-old Jim Packer has taken some stand on separation. It's been a long time in coming. As I say, it's separation light. It's not much, but it's better than nothing.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. We're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. The various articles will help you to understand the nature and purpose of these special creatures whom God has created for His glory, for His service, as well as for His people. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Chapter 18 will be our portion this morning, although we will, as we go through, obviously reference the other three accounts of Christ's time in Gethsemane. As the Lord Jesus set out with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane for the last time, he said, "The prince of this world cometh, but hath nothing in me." Sometime later, after many hours of extreme agony and lonely combat against all the powers of hell in Gethsemane, he said to those who came with Judas Iscariot to arrest him, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." But the darkness, the trial, the suffering, and the sorrow of Gethsemane made the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ shine with all the greater brightness and glory. The natural darkness of the garden, for all this transpired in the blackness of night, the natural darkness of the garden was nothing in comparison to the spiritual darkness of those men who came to arrest the Savior. The scene that took place in Gethsemane's garden, enacted by those men, stands as one of the bleakest and blackest commentaries in all of recorded history on the human nature in its fallen state. And yet when I look at this, all the hardness and all the depravity of men provides a black backdrop against which the Word of God sets the unique jewel of the absolute perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to try for a moment and picture the scene. As the Lord Jesus prayed in the garden hour after hour after hour, as he was in a great agony and his soul was moved to the very point of death, and as he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground, Judas Iscariot, who had spent 3.5 years in his company, in his fellowship, was preparing to lead a band of soldiers and temple guards, a band numbering somewhere between 400 and 600 men, to invade the privacy of the garden, to arrest the Savior, well away from the prying eyes of the people. As that fateful hour approached, the Lord Jesus kept praying. It's very interesting that as he kept praying, he kept interrupting his praying to go back and check upon his disciples, and especially Peter, with James and John, who were overcome with sorrow, Luke tells us, in a little touch that is unique to himself in his gospel record. They were overcome so much with sorrow, became so wearied out in their minds with the great oppression and depression that was upon them, that instead of watching and praying, they fell asleep. Finally, the Savior aroused them from their slumber, for it was time to confront his foes. Judas led that malevolent band. He had promised them that he would identify the Lord Jesus, for remember, it was night. They were there among the many trees on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had promised to identify the Lord Jesus with a kiss. And so he came. The Gospels tell us how boldly, brashly, may I stop and interject, how much of a fool could a man be? Walking on the edge of hell, not an inch away from the lake of fire and damnation forever. And he's as bold and as brash and as absolutely crassly stupid as the devil can make him. Do not be swayed by the boldness of fools. Here he comes, marching up to the Savior. And he cries, "Heal, Master!" And he kissed him. Never, never in all the history of treachery in the world, never was a gesture of professed friendship more debased than when the betrayer planted his filthy lips upon the still blood-soaked face of the Redeemer. "Heal, Master." And he kissed him. But never in the history of the world did the viciousness of man and the virtue of the Savior stand in sharper contrast. With infinite sadness, a sadness that I personally believe would haunt Judas Iscariot through the remainder of his brief life, until in madness he took his life and went to his own place. With infinite sadness, the Lord Jesus replied, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" I believe that that scene at that time, though we tend to isolate the conversation between Judas and Christ, and it is the type of thing that wraps our souls in stillness and awe and fear. I believe that the scene in the garden generally was a scene at that very moment of chaotic confusion. It could hardly have been otherwise. With an excited band of some 400 to 600 men going about what they knew was a nefarious scheme, and with their torches and lanterns blazing and casting the shapes of the olive trees, grotesque enough in the daytime, into all sorts of bizarre and ghostly shapes. As his foes hesitated in their confusion, the Lord Jesus stepped out of the shadows to them. And as we have read today, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They answered, and I think it's probably true that they were reading the official bill of indictment that had been placed in their hand. They read, "Jesus the Nazarene." And in one of those moments that Scripture records, that is so great, so vast, so totally incomprehensible to us, that we just read it, and I'm sorry for our blindness, we pass over it so much as if it meant little. When here you have eternity imposing itself on time, and the majesty of God literally devastating the pride of man. In one of those moments, the Lord Jesus simply said, "I am." Now in English, our translators are right to add the word "he." I am he. But in that moment, the Savior simply took the name of Jehovah, appropriated it to himself. "Whom seek ye?" We seek Jesus of Nazareth. "I am." And as soon as he had said that unto them, they went backward and they fell to the ground. They were in retreat first, and then as if slain by the very power and majesty of the person and the word that that person spoke, they... I want you to understand what I'm saying. Not just Judas, not just the man with the bill of indictment, but they, that band numbering 100 strong, they fell to the ground. Now that the intruders were in such disarray, can you see them? Overcome in the darkness, half mad with excitement, and the other half of them gripped with deadly fear. Struggling back to their feet, Simon Peter sees his chance and he takes it. Unsheathing a sword, he launches into the battle. We read that he cuts off the right ear of Malchus. And at that moment, I'm sure Malchus was mighty glad that he ducked, otherwise he'd have lost a whole lot more than his ear. For Peter certainly meant business. I don't know what damage Peter would have inflicted had not the Lord Jesus intervened. But Matthew tells us that then Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be so?" And then in another little detail that only Luke records, the Lord Jesus touches Malchus, who came as one of his would-be murderers, touches his ear, and he heals him. And then again he turns to his foes, as we have read this morning, and he asked them again, "Whom seek ye?" And again they said, and again I think this is the reading of the bill, "Jesus the Nazarene," or "Jesus of Nazareth." And again he said, "I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these men go." And then he asked, as Luke tells us, "Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." And so, as his disciples fled in disarray and fear, he submitted himself to the ungodly touch of the rough hands of his accusers, and they took him and led him away. That's the scene.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.